welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be speaking from Psalm 121 with a message entitled, Songs of Ascent. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we have continued our study through the Psalms, we come to Psalm 119 and then 15 shorter Psalms which come thereafter. I just want to make a remark or two about Psalm 119. It is a psalm of 176 verses, which is incredible. It is by far the longest psalm in the Psalter. It is really composed of 22 psalms, each of them of 8 verses. And those 22 shorter psalms, as I refer to them, psalms within a psalm, they follow the Hebrew alphabet. And perhaps in your copy of the scriptures, after each 8-verse section, there is a character which you may not readily understand if you haven't studied Hebrew. It goes Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, and through the entire Hebrew alphabet. Each verse begins with that same letter, which is the section. It's a poetical device which is used. But what is being driven home through this longest of Psalms is exalting the Word of God. I think it is so right in the middle of the target that God would give us the longest of the Psalms in order to exalt the Word of God. You hear it repeatedly, such as in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? The answer? By keeping it according to your word. And through many verses which perhaps you are familiar with, verse 49, for example, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope, and others as well, such as verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The greatness of the Word of God, the greatness, the privilege that we have of holding the Scriptures, the very Word of God in our hands, how we rejoice in it. And the children of Israel of long ago, they sang these verses and these lines, exalting the Word of God which they had been given. But I want to press on and come to the Psalms, a collection of psalms which follow immediately after that longest psalm, Psalm 119. I want you to consider with me Psalm 121. And here is the reading of this psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. These psalms, which range from Psalm 120 to 134, you will notice at the top the superscription is called Songs of Ascent. songs of ascent. They were songs that the people would sing at festival time as they were going up. That is, they were ascending, for Jerusalem was built upon a mountain. They were going up to worship God at Jerusalem. Now, there is, in one sense, the physical, there is the geographical ascending. You remember that Jesus told the account, the parable of the Good Samaritan. He began, "There was a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Well, in the physical sense, the geographical sense, the contours of the country of Israel, when you go from Jerusalem down to Jericho, indeed, you are going very decidedly down. However, whenever anyone turns their back upon Jerusalem, they are also turning their back upon the temple of God. You are going down in a spiritual sense and not just a physical or a geographical sense. These people at festival time, as they would sing these songs and their hearts would be full of joy as they were ascending to Jerusalem. And as they were ascending to the temple of God, that place where God said he would particularly place his name in the midst of his people and where the people would gather to worship him, they were ascending not simply over rocks and making their way up in elevation from sea level. They were ascending in their spirit, and in joy they would come before the Lord and sing his praise. And even as they were going up, it wasn't simply, "Well, when we get there, when we arrive, then we will worship God and we'll sing our songs." It was something that the people were doing as they made their way along, singing the songs of Zion. And so here, in this cluster, as I said, between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134, each of them are a reminder of what the people sensed in their heart as they were going up to Jerusalem to meet with God and to join with his people, to extol and to celebrate the goodness of their God. Psalm 121, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains." And the question, from where shall my help come? Where does your help come? Where do you go when you need strength? You look to the mountains so high and so mighty there. In ancient times, many of the people, they would go, the idolaters, the pagan worshipers, they would go to the mountains to worship their gods. Well, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." Is that where help is to be had? The answer comes in verse 2. "My help," this is the witness, this is the testimony of a believer, an Old Testament believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "My help," you want a testimony? "My help comes from the Lord. He is the one who made heaven and earth." We have considered in times past how that the nations were chided, that their gods, though they were shiny and they were visible, they had eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear, hands that never did anything, feet that didn't move. They needed to be carried about. They had noses, but they couldn't smell. They were, in fact, useless. They were utterly vain, empty. They were not to be feared. hear the psalmist, and the people would sing, "My help comes from the Lord. He's the one who made everything that you can see. He's the one who put that gold and that silver in the hills. He's the one who causes the plants and to sprout and to grow. He is the one who causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall. He is the one who has created such spectacular beauty and the variation of the birds and all of the beasts of the field and all that we enjoy. He is the one who provides our food. He is the one who causes breath to give us life. Creator, but also the one who watches over and the one who sustains." Verse 3, "He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber." This is a picture of one who is ever watchful, a shepherd, not of humankind. A human shepherd, they might have very long days and the sleep by night, but sooner or later they need rest. The human body cannot function without rest. But here is one, no slumbering, no sleeping, no dozing, no vacation time, no checking out for just a little bit of R&R. Here is one who watches over us, who will not allow our foot to slip, and who does not slumber. He who keeps Israel, and this was the joy of the people, when they looked around, they said, their gods, don't understand it, don't understand why the people so enthusiastically praise and worship and adore their gods, but our God, the one who keeps Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. Ever watchful. Verse 5 continues, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. For the Lord is the one who is the covering over his people, the one who is keeping his people and caring for them, so that these things, which can be oppressive, will be restrained by God's own good hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you," verse 7 says, "from all evil. He will keep your soul." Here we have not simply a physical protection, something which, of course, we ask the Lord for. We ask Him for the daily provision of our bread and for His watchful eye over us in a physical sense. The people in Jesus' time, they delighted that He was a healer, that He was one who was able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anyone else, miracles that were considered to be utterly impossible. Has anyone worked the way that this man works? We rejoice in those things. But we know that this body is just for a time. Is it for 70 years? Some people who have passed away before the age of 70, perhaps they would say that, look, my life was shortened. Maybe for 80 years or 90, perhaps for 100. But it always comes to a conclusion. And there is that part of us, there is the soul, there is the inner man that lives on. When this body is laid in a grave, yet the soul lives on. And here, the psalmists and those who sang, they rejoiced in God that he was not simply a one who watched over them and protected them during the days of their earthly sojourn, but he was one who watched over them beyond, that he was one who is able to keep them. And here we have it. The Lord will protect you from all. What does all mean? Look in the dictionary. All means all. It means every bit of it. And here the declaration is, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Now, if we walk by faith and not by sight, if we take God at his word and hold on to it, we grab a hold of that truth and we say, if God has said it, it is true and it is real, there is power to that, then there is also great joy. There is joy inexpressible in that, that he stands up. You remember the man Job, and how that at the outset of the book of Job, we have Satan who presents himself before God. Many people struggle with how can Satan come into the presence of God? The point is that Satan is on a leash. Satan is accountable to God for everything that he does. Satan is not a wild madman who does whatever he pleases. God is the one who rules, and this world is yet under his control, though the devil would ever so much love it to be otherwise. The devil thought that he could overpower God, but that was simply not so. Well, God speaks to the devil. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is no other like him? And God says to, or the devil says to God, does Job serve you for nothing? You've feathered his bed, is basically what he says. You've enriched him, you've blessed him, but just let me get close to him and I will cause him to curse you. You'll see the other side of Job. And God says, all right, you can take away his wealth, you can take away his family, his children, but do not lay your hand upon the man. God was restraining. He was restraining evil from coming close to Job. The devil is proven to be a liar, for that is exactly what he is. And the devil is proven wrong. But the devil then comes and says, let me get just a little bit closer still. Skin for skin. A man will do anything to preserve his own body. He'll let it all else go. But let me get closer still, and you'll see the other side of Job. And God allows the devil to take away Job's health, but yet Job retained his integrity, even when his wife said, are you still continuing on this very same course? Curse God and die. And Job said, you speak as a foolish woman. The devil was proven to be a liar. And God was restraining evil. He was protecting Job. And he was keeping his soul. Verse 8 now says, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth. And how far into the future? Forever. The Lord will guard your going out. Indeed, he will. Indeed, he will. And he will guard your coming in. In all your directions, whether you're going that way or whether you're coming back this way, the Lord will be there. He will be the keeper. He will be the one watching over you. He will not pass the task to someone else. He is integrally involved. He is there on the job, constantly, ever vigilant to make sure that you are watched over and that you are cared for. This is the reason this psalm begins with this question: where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Why would I go searching anywhere else when I have proven personally the goodness of God and I have seen it in the lives of others round about me? That the Lord is the one. The Lord who made heaven and earth, he will watch over me. He will keep my feet from slipping. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He will be the one who cares for me. Do you have someone who cares for you? Do you just check in with the Lord once a week or maybe a couple times a year? Maybe Christmas and Easter, you sort of do the cultural thing. You go to church and you check in with God and say, God, are we still okay? Oh, good. We're, you know, I'm here. I just want you to know that, did you see me? There I was in the fourth pew, there in your house. There's a big difference between just checking in with God every once in a while, a couple times a year, 12 times a year, 52 times a year, or maybe you go 104 times a year, maybe a couple times in the week. But if you're just sort of checking in, there is an enormous difference between that and knowing the shepherd, knowing the one who keeps the souls under his keeping, the one who watches over. I would encourage you to not be one who just says, hi, I'm here. Hi, I'm sort of checking my name off on the attendance list. I want to get some credit for this. I could be doing other things, don't you know? I would encourage you to go way beyond that superficial level. And I would bid you to come and say, Lord, be the one who truly is my helper, my keeper, the one who is my shade and my guard. There'll be no regret, for you will know the blessing of Almighty God, the one who watches over you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I give you thanks and praise for the testimony of this psalm. My help comes from the Lord, the one who is so great. He made the heavens, he made the earth, and he is the one who didn't do these things and then buzz off to find whatever else he could do, but he's the one who is attentively, lovingly caring for me. Lord, I praise you for your loving kindness and for all of your goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I would declare that I have tasted and seen, and I would happily, gladly, right now bear witness that the Lord is good. I pray for any man or woman who is attempting, it's really not possible, but they're attempting to sit on the fence. One leg dropped into the world and another leg dropped into the kingdom of God, and they try to take things out of both. Lord, I pray for any man or woman who hears my voice that they would set that foolishness aside and that they would come before you and say, Lord Jesus, I look to you. You are the one who died for me. You gave everything that I might live. I will set aside all of the vain pursuits of this world that I might come and live in you. So, Lord, work in mighty power, I pray, and receive praise, honor, and glory as you draw men and women to yourself, as they come in humble repentance, looking for your mercy and your grace, and receiving of all of your goodness, receiving of your forgiveness, that they might truly live for the very first time. Hear us, Lord, and receive praise, honor, and glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. Pastor H.H. Barber, now for nearly 2 years in glory, is remembered for many things, but especially as a preacher of the Word. For 75 years, a very active gospel ministry, it was his delight to take his Bible in hand and to preach of the cross, of the Savior who died there, and of the invitation which God extends to us to be reconciled to God. June 23, 2022, marks the 100th anniversary of Pastor Barber's birth. Hearts to Believe is remembering how God used this man in a remarkable way. We have selected numerous sermons by Pastor Barber to include on a brand new 2-DVD set. You will be richly blessed as you see his familiar face and hear him invite you to dig into God's Word. Ask for your free copy of Pastor H.H. Barber's sermons when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us at 1-833-367-3852. This 2-DVD set of sermons is sent free and postage paid. It is yours simply for the asking. Our prayer is that this new release, as with all the Hearts to Believe resources, is that you may be strengthened in your walk with Christ and come to better know his abundant and everlasting life. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and unto the day of eternity. Amen.